Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Impact Vest podcast, transformative global innovation in a new era of impact. I'm Aisha Williams, the founder and CEO of Impact Vest, and along with our guest host, we aim to inspire and motivate towards collective positive global impact to solve our world's most pressing challenges in sustainability. With each episode, we will engage in insightful conversations with global changemakers, visionaries, and sustainability activists who wish to build a more sustainable and resilient future. Join us now as we create the future of impact.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Impact Vest podcast. I am Tanya Love Lamort, the Managing Director of the Impact Vest Alliance. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Tanner Snyder, who leads strategy and operations for the investment business at Gold Leaf Farming, a modern, sustainable farming company that provides high net worth investors with access to specialty crop farmland investments. Welcome to our podcast, Tanner.
Thank you, Tanya. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. Happy to have you here. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your experiences, what inspired you to work at Gold Leaf Farming?
Sure, absolutely. So I actually grew up on a small farm in southern Indiana, a beef cattle farm, so not almonds and pistachios like we grow here at Gold Leaf, but nonetheless was involved in agriculture. My grandmother worked for Cargill for 45 years, and so I have a lot of memories at a Cargill grain elevator as a child. Was a 10-year 4-H member. So, you know, really ag has always been a part of my life. And then I went to school at Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, studied finance and economics there, and worked at McKinsey as a consultant for a few years out of undergrad, where I did do some agriculture work, which I found, you know, very interesting and also a little bit close to home, given, you know, my background growing up in rural Indiana. And so, you know, I did after McKinsey a short stint in tech, and just realized that that wasn't, you know, really for me, and that I wanted to stay in the ag side of things. And met Jack McCarthy, our CEO and co-founder here at Gold Leaf, who is also an Indiana University grad and McKinsey alum. And the two of us just had an instant connection. And I think that, you know, ultimately Jack and his co-founder Brandon are great people that have built an awesome business and an awesome team, you know, that's really trying to do something differentiated in an industry that's ultimately still catching up in a number of ways. And so I really liked the vision that the team has here on changing ag for the better and proving that you can, you know, really still do that while being financially successful as an investment business. And so that's what ultimately led me here to Gold Leaf.
And definitely farming has so many facets to it, and it's important for just survival. I mean, you can't live Sure. without having different types of farming. Tell us about Gold Leaf Farming. What is its mission? How do you serve your clients? What is your critical mission for the company?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, at our core, we're really a specialty crop farming company. So we own and operate several thousand acres of almond and pistachio orchards in California and Arizona. And we do so on behalf of our capital partners who have invested into the company to get exposure to really one of the best long-term asset classes there is, which is American farmland. And so, you know, we aim for mid-teens IRR driven by double-digit cash yield. And really, you know, are a farming company that allows investors access to this asset class. And then, you know, to expand a little bit on our vision and how we serve our clients. So, you know, we have a North Star and a vision, which is leaving the world better than we found it by building farms, families, and a future we're proud of. And ultimately, I really love that. I think it does speak to who we are. And I'll talk more about that as I go into some of our specific efforts here in a little bit. On the client side of things, so I think there's a few ways for us to think about our clients and who we're really serving. Ultimately, we're farmers. So at the end of the day, you know, the people around the world who are eating our nutritious crops, and 70% of U.S. almonds are exported. So, you know, we truly do feed people around the world. That's ultimately a very important client for us. And so, you know, we've got to be producing high quality crops with a focus on food safety, and, you know, finding the right partners from a processing and export standpoint that can really be accretive to our business there. And I think something else here with our consumers that are actually eating the product, we want those consumers to be able to connect with what we're actually doing on the farms. Because we're doing a lot of extra things, whether it's organic farming. So we're going to be, we believe, the largest organic certified almond farmer in the U.S. when we finish some of our certifications this year, you know, or the way that we take care of our team. We do a lot, and I'll talk more about that, for our farm operators. And so we really want consumers to know that. And that's why we're working to find, you know, the right strategic CPG and retail partners who can help us tell that story. I think on the other side, though, you know, we have another important set of clients, which we really prefer to call our capital partners. And those are the people that have provided the equity capital for us to grow our business to a $350 million and multi-thousand acre portfolio of farmland. And for these partners, you know, we're ultimately aiming to deliver strong financial returns, which ultimately means that, you know, we have to buy very high quality farmland and then operate it sustainably and efficiently so that we have a high performing long-term investment. And keeping in mind and reminding our partners that farmland and agriculture overall is a long-term play is an important part of serving, you know, that segment or that stakeholder really well, because it's easy to get distracted by, you know, commodity price cycles, which are short-term or various one-off weather events that certainly do create, you know, short-term challenges in farming. And it's easy to focus on those things and forget the fact that, you know, ultimately U.S. farmland has been one of the most stable investments, actually with returns similar to the S&P 500 over the last 70 years, but with less than half the volatility. So that's really how I think about the two main groups of clients that we serve and how we partner with them.
So that's very impressive, and congratulations in advance on the certifications that you're working towards. That's really, really great that you're doing that. And also the stability that you talked about. You know, there's a critical part about being in the U.S. that's an advantage for you. So it's good to bring that point out. Tell us a little bit about your focus on social and or environmental impacts at Golden Farming.
Yeah, so this is really a core part of our business. And, you know, I think that it really comes down to the fact that it has to be in farming. If we're not taking care of the, you know, the land that we're relying on to grow our crops, how can we expect that to be a good long-term investment? And so I really like to think about the things that we're doing from a, you know, an ESG angle as tied directly to our vision, which is building farms, families, and a future we're proud of. So for farms, that means how can we operate our farms in the most sustainable way possible and therefore drive strong returns? For families, you know, how can we take care of our people and the communities that we farm in so that we have the best talent to be able to do the hard things that it takes to farm sustainably? And then I think for the future, it's, you know, how are we actually always doing constant improvement to leave the world better than we found it, which is our North Star. And I think ultimately, if we're not investing in our natural capital and regenerating our soil health and conserving natural resources like water, we're just not going to be farming for a very long time in the grand scheme of things. And so I think it's as simple as that being a great long-term investor in ag and farmland requires us to care about our people and planet. If it's okay with you, I'd love to go a little bit deeper and more specific into kind of some you know, real efforts that we have going on in each of those buckets, if that works for you.
Absolutely. Please go ahead.
Awesome. So, you know, I think to get a little more specific here on kind of the farms, families, and future buckets, first a shout out or a call out to take a look at our website. We've recently released our first ever impact report. And so I'm going to be calling out some of the examples that we have in there, but folks can go to our website to learn a lot more. So on the farming side, you know, I mentioned organic. We're going to have about 32% of our overall acreage certified organic by this year's 2024 harvest, which will happen in September and October. That's a big thing. You know, it's ultimately a very challenging journey, but, you know, reduces chemical and pesticide use to zero on those farms. It's really just, you know, a really important part of what we do on farms, from a, you know, from an ESG standpoint. We do a lot on water conservation. So, you know, almonds have gotten a lot of, I think, negative media attention over the last decade or two on water use. And, you know, I think there are a lot of things that aren't shared in that discussion, but ultimately they, you know, like all crops do use water. And so we want to be as efficient as possible. And I think one sort of misunderstanding is that, you know, farmers try to, you know, want to waste water. And that's absolutely not true at all, because water is costly. We've got to sometimes buy the water itself. We've got to pump it. And so using water as efficiently as possible is actually, you know, a very business-oriented decision, not just an environmental one. So we utilize a lot of ag tech to understand what do our trees need, you know, what do the weather conditions and how those are changing, whether it's temperatures or humidity, require us to put more or less water through drip irrigation onto our orchards. We also do something called water banking. We did that for the first time in 2023, which was a very wet year in California. And we actually sunk 1 billion gallons, over a billion gallons of water back into the aquifer in one of our Westlands farms, which was enough water to actually irrigate that farm for an entire year. So that's a big effort. It takes a lot of work, but it's ultimately worth it to recharge the aquifer when there is excess water. A lot of other things in terms of regenerative farming practices and building soil health, whether that's cover cropping. We trialed integrated grazing with 600 sheep on one of our farms in the Sacramento area. So, you know, we're really doing a lot on our farms to try to make a positive impact on soil health, on water conservation, and ultimately on human health and biodiversity with organic farming and the reduction of chemicals and that sort of thing. On the families piece, this is really one of the areas that I'm most proud of and where I think we're probably the most differentiated in ag. And we operate every farm that we own. So we have, you know, an 80-person team here at Goldleaf, and 60 or so of those people are on farms every single day, of which, you know, 50 of them are hourly farm operators who, you know, traditionally and historically have probably been mistreated in agriculture, or at least that's the case in many, many instances. And, you know, that's not the model that we take. We pay a living wage. So in California, we pay $23 an hour starting wage versus minimum wage of $17 an hour. We provide benefits, so fully paid healthcare that's the same as my own healthcare and our CEO's and his children's, to our farm operators and their families. 401k, parental leave, things that are truly unheard of in agriculture, we provide those at no cost to our team members, regardless of their role. We also provide equity in the farms that our farm operators work on. So each farm, each member of the Goldleaf team has equity in the farm so that they're going to see part of the upside when our farms do well. And that's also unheard of in agriculture. And then, you know, more broadly than just the people that work for Gold Leaf, we try to do a lot in the communities that we farm in. So each year we do at least one or two service projects to really have an impact on the community. And earlier this year, we actually went to the Ronald McDonald House in Central Valley of California and helped them do a breakfast for many of their many of the people staying there. It's families of injured children who are staying near the hospital. We helped them do some landscaping and things like that to really clean up the place. And we just like to, you know, be involved in the communities that we're a part of. And then I know this is a little long-winded here, so wrapping up with the future piece is really all about the commitments that we're making to do better over the long term. We know that this is a constant journey and we've always got to be improving. So, you know, this is things like just doing more to measure what we're doing, whether that's water use, carbon storage potential, which with the amount of trees and biomass, we have a lot of carbon storage potential on our farms. Whether that's electrifying, you know, more wells from diesel to electric and then going solar where possible. That's a set of commitments we've made. And then doing more direct water conservation projects. So we really have a lot of ongoing efforts here at Gold Leaf along the ESG side of things. And the good thing about these is, you know, they're not something where it's a trade-off between an ESG effort and a an economic outcome. It's really that saving water saves us a lot of money. Having great benefits and pay for our farm operators, we have less than three times the industry average of turnover, which is obviously a very costly thing. So it's really a lot of stuff that we're proud of, but also that is really economically aligned with the business.
So that's really good. You hit on a lot of key points. Being one of our newest members of our Impact Vest Alliance, so welcome again. You know that social and environmental impact for us is key, but we understand that it's a business and you need to make money as well. And you're showing through your different pillars how you're able to make a financial impact, and you're focusing on the employees themselves, which are your valuable assets, and giving them a stake in the business itself, and how you're able to focus on your future and the environment at the same time. So thank you for sharing that, because that's really important for everyone moving forward and how we look at impact-based companies and the myth that, you know, how are you able to do both? And you are a prime example of how you can make money as well as focus on the environment too. Anything on your future direction? You shared some things on where you're going. Anything else you want to share with us on the future direction for Gold Leaf Farming?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think that ultimately we really want to be a leader in a few specialty crop verticals. So obviously we're on that path for almonds and pistachios right now. I think we'll add a few more over time. And we want to, you know, really focus on things that drive strong financial returns to our capital partners, while showing the world that there is a different and better way to farm, you know, that looks after the people that do the hard work and the planet, which sustains all of us. You know, you mentioned at the beginning, like, it wouldn't be a very good world without agriculture. We wouldn't all be here. So I think that we really have to do that. And I think that's a key part of our future. And I think it's, you know, hard to tell exactly where this goal will lead, but I think it may take us to, you know, a few more crops, maybe 3 to 5 more crops in the next decade, a couple more geographies, which could include, you know, international expansion. And then I think, you know, if the right opportunity comes along, we would consider moving up or downstream into, you know, businesses that make sense, whether that's processing capacity or, you know, owning a nursery with genetics in one of the crops that we're focused on. It's really, you know, about matching up where the right opportunities are from a return perspective, but also things that are going to help us, you know, realize our vision.
And any closing comments that you would like to share with our listening audience about Gold Leaf Farming? If you had, you know, your elevator speech, what would you want our audience to hear?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that it's really an interesting place for folks who are, you know, wanting some diversification in their portfolios, because ultimately farmland is just in the U.S. is about a $3 trillion asset class, but there's only a few tens of billions of sort of institutional level capital in farmland. And we really think that that's going to start shifting over the next decade or two, as a lot of, a lot of current farmers are much older. They don't have a succession plan in place. So I believe there are estimates that, maybe up to, I believe it's up to 40% of U.S. farmland could change hands in the next 10 or 20 years. And that's going to mean a significant shift in just a lot of components of agriculture. And I think that ultimately institutionalization is going to be a part of that, but I don't think it has to be a bad thing. And I think that that's a little bit of a misconception. I think if we have, groups hopefully like ours that are able to invest not only in farmland, but also the necessary efforts to regenerate the land, to conserve natural resources and those sorts of things, I think it could actually be a really positive turning point in ag. Because ultimately, if you have a little bit more resource up front, which many institutions do, you can take a bet on some of these things that are, maybe a little bit less proven now, but could have a really important impact in sort of the, the climate story and a number of other ESG fronts over the next few decades. So, I think that it's really an interesting place to look. So you can, find us online at Goldleaf Farming. It's goldleaf.ag, A-G. And, I think the last thing that I'll mention here is, we're kind of glad to be in an industry where the choice is so clear from an ESG angle. Like, the only way to be great investors and farmers for the long term is to care about, people and the planet. Because right. If we're not regenerating the nutrients in the soil and ensuring long-term water availability and many, many other factors, we're just ultimately going to have and own a set of degrading assets, and we don't want that. So, we've got to hire great people, we've got to take care of them so that we can do the hard stuff like transitioning to organic, complicated water conservation projects, et cetera. And ultimately, we really believe that this is going to drive higher returns, likely in the near term. So, for example, with organic, the organic premium in almonds has historically been 70 to 80% on average. And so that's, a very near-term returns improvement for us. But certainly in the long term, when you're just investing in natural capital and building soil health and regenerating natural resources, I think it's really an obvious thing. And so it's a great place to look for folks that want to have an impact, but also are a really great investment that has done great historically, and I think will do so going forward as well.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tanner. It has truly been a pleasure speaking with you, as well as educational too. And we are extremely elated to have you as one of our newest Impact Best Alliance members. So thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Tanya. And it's a pleasure to be a part of the group.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Impact Best podcast, transformative global innovation in a new era of impact. Join us next week for another episode and become part of our Impact Best newsletter community, where you will receive all of the latest updates about our work in this new era of innovative impact finance. See you next week as we create the future of finance at Impact Best.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.